This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com welcoming you back to the New World next week. And today I'm joined on the line, as always, by my good friend James Evan Pilato in the land that summer forgot, MediaMonarchy.com. Thank you very much for joining me again today.
Thanks so much, man. I love doing this.
All right, so let's get straight into things. What do you have up for us first today?
First today is probably one of the bigger stories of last week. Of course, you know, everything comes second to, you know, in the world, economic collapse and environmental catastrophes. But this story from the New York Times had a lot of folks talking, and this is one of those stories that had even some of my coworkers coming to me saying, hey, did you see that story about U.S. identifies vast riches of minerals in Afghanistan? This originally coming from the New York Times. The United States has discovered nearly $1 trillion in untapped mineral deposits in Afghanistan, far beyond any previously known reserves, and enough to fundamentally alter the Afghan economy and perhaps the Afghan war itself, according to senior American government officials. The previously unknown deposits, including huge veins of iron, copper, cobalt, gold, and critical industrial metals like lithium, are so big and include so many minerals that are essential to modern industry that Afghanistan could eventually be transformed into one of the most important mining centers in the world. An internal Pentagon memo, for example, states that Afghanistan could become the Saudi Arabia of lithium, a key raw material in the manufacture of batteries for our beloved laptops and BlackBerries. So this would seem, wow, they just discovered these kind of things. But James, as you know, and as I'm sure a lot of listeners know, they decide when to announce stories to us. So we're going to get our debunking from Danger Room as well as from Raw Story. Danger Room has the report from yesterday. No, the U.S. didn't just discover a $1 trillion Afghan motherload. The military have known about Afghanistan's mineral riches for years. The U.S. Geological Survey and the Navy concluded in 2007 report that, quote, Afghanistan has significant amounts of undiscovered non-fuel mineral resources, including large quantities of accessible iron, copper, abundant deposits, and on and on and on. If we hop over to Raw Story, Pentagon report in April never mentioned the $1 trillion Afghan wealth. Original goal of Pentagon task force that performed Afghan mineral survey was to get contracts going between U.S. firms and Iraqi firms. Raw Story investigation revealed that a report released by the Pentagon last April on the progress of the Afghani surge included only a single passing reference to a survey that is now being touted as having discovered mineral resources in that nation potentially worth $1 trillion. James?
Right. So if you go and you read the debunkings, you find out that this vast wealth has been known about for at least a couple of decades, if not a few decades, if not as much as four decades, it's at least been suspected. And suddenly it's being touted in New York Times for an article. James, why do you think it's coming out at this time?
I think a lot of folks are saying, well, the Afghani surge isn't going so well. We've made no progress in Obama's right war. Of course, this is all based on the blank check of the official story of 9/11. And it just seems like it's well-timed war propaganda.
Bingo. Yep. I think that's pretty much it on this one. So, it's a good thing, I guess, that that there is such riches there, but it's nothing new, and it's only coming out now for a very specific political reason.
And how much would the Afghanis actually be able to benefit from this, or would it just all be taken over by the Western finance oligarchs?
Right, and I think that's the subtext of this story. It's like, look at all this wealth. You'll get that, just like you got the oil in Iraq, right? Good old boys back in America.
Yep.
Yeah, so. All right, well, let's move along to story number two.
Story number two has been a large story in the alternative media for the past few days, and this was one that it took me a little bit to try and figure out what the new angle on this story was. But we're going to take this from Washington's blog. The SEC, that's the Securities and Exchange Commission, says government destroyed documents regarding pre-9/11 put options. So let's jump back to almost 9 years ago, September 19th, 2001, CBS News reported, sources tell CBS News that the afternoon before the attack, alarm bells were sounding over unusual trading in the U.S. stock options market. An extraordinary number of trades were betting that American Airlines stock prices would fall. The trades are called puts, and on and on. And again, folks, before we even dive further into this, we'll provide a lot of the contextual links for you to do more research, most definitely to historycommons.org and their complete 9/11 timeline. But if we scroll down a ways, and Washington's blog is great, giving all the information, all the backstories, and it goes through a lot of the firms and other companies and economic and otherwise looking into the insider trading, the pre-9/11 insider trading. So what gets to the heart of the matter is, jumping down, as we mentioned, the effort to track down the source of these puts was quite substantial. And what were the results and details of the investigation? Apparently, we'll never know. Specifically, David Callahan, executive editor of Smart CEO, submitted a Freedom of Information Act request to the SEC regarding the pre-9/11 put options, and the SEC responded, and MaxKaiser.com has the scan of the letter, and quoting the SEC, "This letter is in response to your request seeking access to and copies of documentary evidence referred to in footnote 130 of Chapter 5 of the September 11th 9/11 Commission report. We have been advised that the potentially responsive records have been destroyed." James, what's your take on this?
Wow, extremely important and sensitive documents relating to the most important event in the last few decades of the political life of America have been destroyed. I wonder why that is. Absolutely, this as I think my listeners will know and your listeners will know, the 9/11 inside trading story is an extremely important one, and one that we should be looking into and trying to get more information about. So my hat's off to everyone who's making Freedom of Information Act requests on this topic, even if they are fruitless. But certainly, it's just such an important topic, and I still continue to discover more and more about this. We already know so much about how systems in the World Trade Center were being used on that day to funnel money out the back doors via various computer programs and things, and this relates to things like whistleblowers Richard Grove and Indira Singh we're talking about. We also know that there were companies hired in the wake of the disaster to go through the hard drives that were collected from the rubble and to try to find out about what was going on in the World Trade Center computer-wise in the minutes and hours before the collapse, and I have a video up on my YouTube channel about that that I would suggest people check out. It's just so much information continues to come out on this extremely important topic. Follow the money. So definitely people need to be looking into this story, and let me use this as an opportunity to plug Washington's blog, because he always puts in so much information and so many links. It's always a great resource, especially for people who maybe are new to this information, because there's just so much background info in all of his articles.
And he generally kind of stays away from hyperbole. It's not very flashy. It's just boom, boom, boom. Here's the info. Here's the documentation. This, to me, also is one of those stories that we'll have to dig in the archives and, again, provide that information. Wasn't it just a few months ago that the story came out that the SEC said, oh, there was no insider trading. We had all our guys investigated. Nothing to see here.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, but they can't give us the documentation that actually proves that. Surprise,
exactly,
surprise.
Because it's been destroyed.
Yeah. Funny how that works. All right. Well, let's move straight on to the third story.
Our third and final story, again from Danger Room. Spies want to stockpile your YouTube clips and scan them for terror threats. Your YouTube videos, our YouTube videos, could soon be scanned and evaluated for terror threats, thanks to a new project funded by the U.S. intelligence community that'll create a searchable warehouse of open source clips. IARPA, now you guys may be familiar with DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. This is IARPA, the Intelligence Advanced Research Project Agency. IARPA, the spy agency's out there research arms behind the program called Automated Low-Level Analysis and Description of Diverse Intelligence Video, or Aladdin. The advent of cell phone cams and online video hubs mean thousands of clips are uploaded every day, and while the quality of UAV or spy cam feeds is relatively consistent, and the videos usually contain similar imagery, the unconstrained video clips produced by anyone who has a digital camera present a significant challenge, IARPA notes. Quickly, we'll have to jump down to the bottom here. Of course, despite the challenges of analyzing uploaded videos, spy agencies are probably already doing it. There's no probably about it. In 2008, the director of the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, DNI, and their Open Source Center noted that, quote, YouTube carries some unique and honest-to-goodness intelligence. And James, I think that's where we would land ourselves, and maybe the spooks are analyzing The New World next week and all of the other great YouTube channels out there. What do you think?
Maybe they are, but I just want the viewers to cogitate on the fact that the Panopticon only works if you are afraid of Big Brother. If you give into the fear that they're constantly watching you, and if you let that motivate and regulate what you do and what you'll upload to YouTube or anywhere else, then they have won. And only if you realize that we are having such an incredible effect, that they are afraid of the effect that we as individuals are having in doing this type of thing and uploading this information, only then can we really, truly break through the paradigm, because only our fear will let them have control over us.
That's it. James, we got to wrap it up, man. Thanks
so much. Let's do it. All right. Thank you so much.